I've been finding fucking ticks on me. Have you guys had any of those?
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's because of my dog. So I've been dropping my dog off with my parents occasionally on the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they live out in the country, and so he's been going through the woods and shit, and just like I've pulled 3 ticks off of him and 2 ticks off of me.
So wow.
It's just great, yeah.
You're loving this dog life.
Oh my god, dude.
Dude, that sounds like so much work. Holy shit.
It sucks. Yeah. It's like, because like after we moved, he is like reset now to where like it used to be. I got to the point where I could probably do an hour and a half away without him freaking out, which was okay. Now I'm at the point where I'm pushing it if I go beyond 20 minutes away.
Oh, no.
He starts to freak out. So I feel completely trapped in my apartment, basically. Because I'm like, I have to bring him places. And there's a, you know, you quickly find out that most places do not let you bring a dog. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the reverse of emotional support. Like, you need to take him with you for his emotional support, basically. Right.
I need to wear a vest that says emotional support human.
Yeah, right.
bring my dog around.
Yeah.
I've thought about getting him that vest too, just being like, but yeah. It'd be so easy to tell because he's not like as well trained on a leash and shit as a support dog would be. So everybody would instantly know that's not true.
I don't know if that dog going through that bag of Doritos is is trained.
Right. After he like got away from me,
right?
He's running around the store, yeah.
Just tearing everything up.
But yeah, but what I'm going to be doing though is I'm doing training now.
Oh shit!
Desensitization training, which is basically I think I might have told you guys about it, but basically, every day I'm going to leave for longer and longer periods of time, like every week. So like for the first week it'll be 30 minutes, the next week it'll be like 45 minutes, and I'll just slowly keep extending that.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad part of that is I can't ever trigger his separation anxiety, which means I am stuck with him when I'm not doing that stuff. Like,
so you
can never.
Yeah. So you have to come back at a certain time or it'll trigger it. Like you're trying to manage your timings.
Yeah. I have to come back before he's triggered.
Okay.
But I also have to extend the time slowly over time until I eventually him not being triggered is like, you know, 6-7 hours.
So like you're out at the store and you're pushing like a 30 minute and you get a notification that he's going wild in your apartment. You got to like run back or is it already too late?
It's already too late. If he's already going wild in my apartment, then it's you've ruined it. You have to reset basically. Yeah. It's not easy.
What's the time that you have to start at?
I'm starting at 30 minutes because that's close to what I think I can get him with starting out. But you're supposed to just start with whatever the smallest amount of time before he starts to freak out is. So I've been timing myself as I leave. Like I have a stopwatch on my phone and I've just been hitting start. And then just like occasionally while I'm out, just like looking at it and being like, okay, I got 5 minutes.
Oh my God, dude, you're trapped.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. But I'm going to be doing that. And then in addition to that, I'm also hopefully... I'm going to take him to the vet on Tuesday and get him like some medication that'll help him with that. So some chill pills.
Yeah. That's rough, man. I'd like to have a dog, but I hear so many stories like yours.
It's part of the problem is like when you get a dog from a shelter, usually what happens is that dog ends up getting surrendered to the shelter and then this like they get separation anxiety because their original owners basically abandoned them, right?
Right. So
that's what kind of it's like that trauma that causes them to have that. So chances are if you get a dog from a shelter, it's probably gonna have those problems.
Damn, that sucks. I don't tell you that. That's rough. The most ethical way to purchase animals from a shelter, but man, it comes with a lot of strings attached.
Yeah. Or it's just a gamble. Like, you don't know. I mean, they do. I will say, like, so I got him from KC Pet Project, and they did do a good job of, like, when I was adopting him, they, like, sat down and they told me everything that they knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had it all written down. Like, oh, yeah, the previous owner said that he did this. Like, he said that he chased a cat once and, like, all this stuff. Like, so they try to give you the information. But, you know, you just never know.
Yeah.
Because they don't know. Because they're, you know, they have hundreds of dogs there. Like, right. They don't get to spend enough time with each dog to really know what their problems are either.
That's crazy. So,
yeah. But hopefully he grows out of it. Like, as he gets older, he, you know, he'll just grow out of that shit. And hopefully this desensitization training works. We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I had dogs growing up and it was the same. I feel like it's the same thing where it's, you don't know what it's going to be like. They all have their own personality. So you never really know. It's probably the same way with the shelters, like personality plus trauma plus being a dog.
Yep, exactly. I mean, I'm at least grateful that he's not like, he doesn't attack other dogs. He doesn't attack humans or bite people or anything like that. So at least he doesn't have any of that stuff. It's just purely once we get through the separation anxiety stuff, like that's the only problem that he has. Everything else is great.
Have either of you guys ever watched Storage Wars?
No.
Or any of that kind of like, or like the one where they go in and they tell them how much like junk is. What's that show called? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, the
Pawn Stars. Have you watched that?
Mm-hmm.
I started to think maybe I start watching those shows.
Really? You just think that they look interesting?
Well, so being at the gym, those are always on during the day. And I'll just be walking or running on the treadmill and I'll be watching Storage Wars. And there's a guy on there, super old, big, fat guy, and he has a hat that just says, yup, on it.
Yep.
And I was like, this might be funny. The show seems like it could actually be kind of funny.
Yeah. I think those are great background shows, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, exactly. If you're just doing shit in the apartment or whatever, just like, or your house.
Working out.
Having on. Working out. Yep.
Seems like a good background show. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, it's just like dudes talking about fucking junk and pricing junk.
Yeah. And you can tune in and out at any moment, really.
Right.
Like, you can tune in when they're, you know, you look at the TV and they like have some fucking like cool ass like motorcycle or something, you're like, okay, I'm paying attention for this one thing.
Right.
And then you're done, right? And then you move on and do something else, come back.
Did you ever watch Antiques Roadshow growing up?
Yeah.
Same. It's like that.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. It's similar to that.
It's just like the trashier version of Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
Like
I think it's better than Antiques Roadshow.
Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
because you also get interesting characters coming in too.
Right. Huh. Yeah, maybe I'll start watching that, like leaving it on or something. Seems like not a bad idea. It's just such a, like, no, I mean, there's drama, but it's like stupid drama, you know? It's kind of like a Mountain, what was that show we watched? Mountain Monsters?
Mountain Monsters.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. I think that shows the same formula where you can literally, you can tune in at any point and they're about to, like, notice something and be like, oh, shit, okay. There's no, like, linear progression of the story.
You don't feel like you missed anything. You can just tune in and pay attention for however long you want.
Exactly.
I wonder what the name, there's got to be a name for these types of shows. And it's kind of sad we've only ever watched one of these types of shows, Mountain Monsters.
Yeah.
For the show.
I want to say like popcorn. It's almost like popcorn movies or whatever.
Yeah.
Like what? There's got to be a name like that for it. Just like trash.
It's reality TV.
Junk food TV.
I like that.
Junk food? Yeah.
That's a good name.
Yeah, junk food TV.
Because they're literally like looking at junk in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Junk food TV is good. Junk food you can pick up at any time and eat it. Like, you know?
Yeah, because that's how junk food is, right? You just have it in your house and just like occasionally you just pick up a bag and start...
Sometimes you just want to eat. Yeah.
You're
not that hungry, counter. But you want to eat something.
Right now, I'm going to leave this on the bed while I go do this. Come back. Hey, Doritos are still here. Pick them back up.
That's funny. Well, that's my plan. That's what I'm working on this week is watching more bad TV.
Yeah.
I got a little taste at the gym.
Most people are like, yeah, I'm trying to start these new good habits. Like, I'm trying to eat more salads. Like, I'm trying to go on longer walks. You're just like, I'm trying to watch some fucking junk-ass TV.
More Storage Wars.
More. Yeah. I need more Storage Wars.
Yeah, I'm going to try putting Storage Wars on all the time now. See how that works for me.
you know, not every goal has to be like a a flex
improvement.
Yeah. We can downgrade sometimes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, no, it's an upgrade. You're trying to fill in the emptiness of, you know.
I got worse.
Yeah, sure.
And you're just not trying like to fill a void.
Fill the void, yes.
Yeah. You're trying to fill the void in your heart. Okay. No. I mean, like the empty, you know, if your house doesn't have any sound playing, right? You want to have music playing or something. You have Storage Wars on, and it kind of fills in the gaps. You just have something to focus on.
Background noise, yeah.
Background noise.
Exactly. Let the old guy with the yup hat into my heart is what you're saying.
Yes, yeah. Maybe he can fill that void in your heart.
Maybe. Well, speaking of voids, the Star Trek series is has been void of all creativity and inspiration and anything to actually do with Star Trek. And this week we watched Star Trek Strange New Worlds. We're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to get into it. Be right back. Welcome to Binge or Cringe, the podcast about first episodes. My name is Cassidy, and with me today is Josh.
Hello.
And Jake.
Hello.
This week we watched Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and it was a strange new world because I haven't seen anything good Star Trek in a long time, and this was actually unexpected. Immediate. I don't know if we should do first impressions on it because... That's a little too telling on you know, if we want to say it is.
Maybe we should go through, like, so you obviously have some Star Trek background, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've watched, you're a big TNG person?
I'm pretty exclusively TNG. I've seen Voyager TNG. On, but I never really sat down and took the time to follow it. But yeah, okay. TNG.
I'm pretty much the same way. Like, I watched all of TNG. I've watched all of TNG like two or three times.
Okay.
Especially when it came to Netflix and you could just have it on.
Yeah.
So I just had it on all the time. So yeah, pretty much TNG. And then I've seen some of the original series. And then I watched the J.J. Abrams movies.
Oh boy. I watched those.
Is that with Chris Pine?
Yeah.
Yeah. The ones with Chris Pine.
What did we think about that?
At the time I thought they were all right. But then I saw TNG and I was like, oh fuck. Maybe they're more, I don't know. They're fine for blockbuster movies, I thought. But I could see how people who are really attached to Star Trek would be offended by them because they kind of just use the Star Trek world as a backdrop for an action blockbuster, essentially. So, but
Josh, you like those movies themselves,
I thought they were fine.
I haven't seen any Star Trek.
What?
The little I've seen is whatever is the original when I was a kid, and I was not into it.
Whoa. Okay.
So give me give me some like timeline. When is TNG? Is that before or after these movies? I honestly have no idea.
Oh, we gotta take a big step back here.
Just casually explain the Star Trek timeline.
No, just the ones that you guys mentioned. You said someone said original.
No. We can't do that.
I regret this.
We can't do that.
I'm gonna throw in when we had to watch this. I was like not looking forward to it. I was like, oh man, I have to watch Star Trek.
Okay, so Jake and I had a bit of a discussion before the podcast a couple days ago about whether or not we thought you would like this show.
Okay.
I don't think you, Jake, thought that Josh had never seen any Star Trek.
Right.
Because I knew that,
yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought you at least had seen those new movies that you're talking about.
Oh, I didn't know if you had seen those movies, but I don't know. I don't really count them. I mean, they are Star Trek, but I don't
care.
They're just a different, they're completely
the trailers,
different
feeling. They didn't even look like something I'd like.
Those were just Star Wars movies with the Star Trek skin on them. That's all they were.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe I would have liked them.
I think you would have liked those movies. Yeah. They were not bad. Like, in terms of like just blockbuster movies, they were not bad.
Right.
Like, the characters were good, acted well, like, it was funny. It was just a blockbuster.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were fine movies. I watched it and I thought, that was good. but it's not Star Trek that I think of Star Trek. There's like, there's a formula that goes with Star Trek and it didn't really fit that. Okay, so you've not seen any at all. So, but you said you would see it on when you were a kid.
I'd see it on as a kid. I can do just some, like, some of the characters are familiar when people talk about them. I don't know names. That's about, that's the
You probably saw TNG.
Okay.
Be my guess.
I would say you saw TOS.
Really?
Series.
No way.
Kirk and stuff?
No way.
Who's the guy with the thing?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's TNG.
And then...
That's Geordi.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with Picard was the captain. So you would have seen Picard all the time, which is Patrick Stewart. You
So yeah, TNG was basically... TNG is the farthest in the ahead in the timeline. That's like the most future that the show has gone.
Okay.
Oh, so you know the timeline as far as like... I don't know that.
Really? For me, I meant timeline like release date.
Oh, release date.
That's very messy.
Just so I knew. In-universe timeline.
Okay.
Release date. Yeah, go ahead.
So when you talk TNG, you're talking about, is that as a kid kind of thing? Or did that came out later when we were older?
TNG was, I think, 2000, like late 90s or like early 2000s, right?
Okay, that sounds right. That's probably what I saw then.
Yeah, I mean, we're like the same age and it was literally always on TV.
Yep.
Right. But I never watched TNG when it originally aired or anything.
You would have been too young.
I watched TNG. Yeah, I was too young and it just didn't appeal to me because back then, you know, when I was a kid, you're into Star Wars and shit. Like you're into the big, like bright action and all that.
Right.
Like Star Trek was always more philosophical and like, you know, kind of like, yeah. But I didn't watch TNG until probably 5 years ago for the first time or maybe 6 years ago. And I just binge watched all of it on like Netflix, I think, when it first came on there.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty new to TNG. I actually watched TNG after I watched the movies, the J.J. Abrams movies.
Yeah.
So my intro to Star Trek was the J.J. Abrams movies.
That's really funny. So we probably had talked about that in the past, and I probably was shitting on those movies at the time. Cool. And I was like, that's not Star Trek.
That's not my Star Trek. No, but when I watch TNG, though, I 100% think TNG is the best.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely love TNG. So
I believe TNG is pretty universally received.
Are you talking? Because you're not. We can't hear you anymore.
Oh, hello?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. That's just me.
Okay. I think it's pretty universally accepted as the best Star Trek series. So timeline wise, those movies that came out, that was Kirk and Spock. That was the original series, were those movies. They came out after, those are like one of the newer things. Those are kind of like the beginning of the end of what Star Trek was. So Kirk and Spock are also in this series. This is the same cast. So the way Star Trek works is it's like each cast has been like revamped and brought back again and again nowadays. So like there's a Star Trek show called Picard, and that has all the characters from his timeline. It's like a timeline thing. And then like in the world of Star Trek, I'm not sure which order, like you're saying Picard is the last or like the most recent Star Trek, right? As far as their Picard, story.
Yeah, that's why it was called The Next Generation, because it was like, it's the furthest generation. It's the farthest in the timeline.
So where is Kirk and Spock?
They're earlier in the timeline.
But are they like right before, or is it just like earlier?
I think it's like a few hundred years before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kirk and Spock is in our timeline the oldest Star Trek.
Right. And that doesn't even get into the fact that J.J. Abrams split the timelines.
Oh my God.
So part of the movie with J.J. Abrams is that they went back in time and fucked up the timeline. And so J.J. Abrams' movies shot off on a different timeline than the series did. But in terms of the TV show, it is just the original series and then TNG, basically. Like, just think of those as like TNG is after the original series. And then the show that we just watched is a little bit before the original series.
Yeah. Yeah. All makes sense.
We're watching a prequel, kind of.
Yeah, we're watching a prequel.
Oh, okay. That's kind of what I wanted to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, and I mean, these are probably what most people consider when, if you were to ask someone off the street what Star Trek is, they would say Spock and Picard, I think. Or not Spock, Kirk. Yeah. Which is William Shatner. That's what William Shatner's from, is the original Star Trek. Yeah.
And then, so Captain Pike, who is the person you're seeing in this first episode, was originally, he was in the very first episode of the original series. And then after that, he like basically gets like, he has a horrible event where he can't be captain anymore. And that's when Kirk becomes captain of the Enterprise. So you're seeing Pike's Enterprise right now, basically.
The prequel to all of that.
Yeah. Prequel.
Okay, yeah. That's cool. Good to know.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting, and I did not, actually realize that. I thought Pike was Kirk for some reason, like because of the way he's acting and stuff. I was like, I guess that's supposed to be him, but I don't know why. You know, they're calling him Pike.
They do act similar. They do kind of have a similar like appearance, I guess. But like, Captain Pike was Kirk's captain. He was the captain right before Kirk.
I see. And okay, so basically the show starts off with you meet Pike. I thought his intro is like they're wanting him to come back and lead the ship. He's out like riding on a horse in the snow.
Yeah.
Just
fucking doing man shit.
Dude. Just doing the most man shit.
Yeah. He was a badass, dude. I was like, holy shit, I want to be this guy. He's just out in the fucking mountains of Montana.
Yeah.
I like on his house. Horse.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a cool house. He had a cool beard.
Yeah.
He had like a crazy ass beard.
He's like, what's his name? The guy from The Witcher, Henry Cavill. He's just like, so like fucking like chiseled and like, this dude's like, I'm a fucking man guy.
Yeah. He's a cool dude.
So then a ship shows up and he's like, hey, you have to come back and work for us. I thought this scene was cool. Like the ship showing up and he's out there on the horse. It was almost kind of like Star Wars-y with like, you know, the snow and the ship landing in the snow. It just reminded me of like all the Star Wars stuff.
And it was cool to see like kind of old world Earth basically. And then suddenly the spaceship shows up and just lands. It's kind of cool mixture.
I was worried when I saw this. I was like, oh, this is going to be like, cause I watched a little bit of Picard, suffered through that. And I was like, fuck, this is going to be like that where it's like super story driven. Like it's all going to be this drama on Earth. The guy shows up and he asks him to get back on that horse, AKA.
Yeah.
I thought it could have done without that line. That line had me worried that it was going to be like beat you over the head with explaining every little thing in the show. Because I was like, man, it would have been so much cooler if he just like got off the horse. The guy showed up. They like had their little talk and then he got back on it. Like looking like, yeah, I'm going to do it. That would have been cooler. But still, I like the scene. Then we go over to Spock. We see that he's getting married. I'm not super sure how Spock is supposed to be played as far as like love goes with them, like with Vulcans. So Spock is part of the Vulcan race.
He's half human though.
Ah, okay. So that explains a little bit of that.
Yeah. That kind of explains. Yeah. That's part of his like internal conflict.
Okay.
So is that love interest of his or his wife or I guess also Vulcan too?
She's different.
The same, I thought.
They looked, she might be human. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So a piece of this that you're kind of missing, Cassidy, and I don't think it's, you don't need it for the show, but Pike had basically season two of Star Trek Discovery involved Captain Pike and involved Spock and explains a little bit of this setup a little bit.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do I have to watch that?
Okay. No, you do not have to watch it. They've done a really good job of actually explaining what happened during this first episode, so you don't really need it, but just thought I'd let you know that the second season of Discovery wasn't that bad, so I'm just saying.
Oh, anyway. Shit. Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
It all comes back around. This guy over here, this fucking guy, Cassidy, used to shit on me all the time for liking Star Trek Discovery, and I was like, I had a love-hate relationship with Star Trek Discovery, all right? But it had really good parts to it, but then it just had too many bad parts. But anyway.
But season two's good. Is it still going? Is that show still going?
The show is still going. I think it was season two, where it was like pretty good. And then I think whatever season was after that, where basically a really big thing happens, and then it kind of changes that show completely, like where it takes place and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I just fell off of it. I didn't really like it anymore. But okay. I really liked Captain Pike, and I really liked, you know, when they brought in Spock and all that shit. It was all good.
Okay. So maybe I avoid Discovery and just stick with this one.
Yeah, I would just stick with this because Discovery is just going to make you mad. Because you're going to – Discovery is really frustrating because there's so many good parts to it, but there's also – it ruins itself by with all the bad parts.
Yeah. That's – watching this show made me sad that Picard is so bad because
– Yeah.
If this would have been – if they would have used this formula with Picard, oh my God, would have been so fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Stewart is just straight up the captain, you know? Fuck, man.
If he was the one on the horse.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Montana, and they fucking, they're just like, come back, we need you.
Yes.
That'd been awesome.
Just make him like this, you know, stern, like, you know, he didn't have emotions. He was just like, I'm the fucking boss around here. Like, I'm
right. And make it like, you know, make it to where, you know, everything's changed a little bit. And he's kind of stuck in his old ways. Like, you know, do some of that shit. But then, yeah, it would have been cool.
Josh, thoughts on this?
Josh, what did you think of the first of the intro and stuff with this guy?
Yeah, let's try to keep it to this episode so Josh can talk to us.
I know, you guys are fine. I don't know if I'll have that much opinion till the end because I was still just figuring out what was going on. I was like, who's this guy? This manly man of men. Okay, cool. He's a captain. They want to come back. I was just still figuring out. I didn't know who he was supposed to be.
It's interesting. Like, I mean, I felt the same way watching it. Like, I was like, I don't know who this is. I don't know. I was just very skeptical the whole episode because I was just like, every Star Trek thing they've kind of ruined. And I expected them to ruin this. And I was just like, okay, well, let's see what happens.
I was skeptical in that I was never really a Star Trek fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this. We'll see.
So they end up all up on the ship and I believe they just get a distress signal from a planet because there's an explosive about to go off. They detect like a warp drive signature, but it's actually like being used as a bomb.
So yeah, it's kind of the lead up to that is that, the Federation does what's called first contact, which means that when a planet develops warp technology, which means they can start going between planets and like traveling faster than light, they will go down to that planet and make first contact and then basically invite that planet to join the Federation. Mm-hmm. It's like a golden rule, basically. And so they were doing first contact with that planet, but what ended up happening was that planet actually did not develop warp drive technology. They developed what's called a warp bomb, and then they were actually not as far developed as they thought that they were.
I like this. That's
why they ended up. Yeah, I really liked that. That was really cool. And that also ended up tying into Discovery a little bit, which was at the end of one of the Discovery seasons, they end up doing a really big thing out in space, basically. And apparently this planet spied on it with their satellites or caught it. And then they reverse engineered based on what they saw the warp technology. And that's why they developed it earlier than they were supposed to.
That's cool. I like this whole premise.
That was pretty cool. Yeah.
So there was a scene where they were discussing how they wanted to deal with it and how they didn't want to disrupt their General Order 1, which is do not interfere in a planet until they are ready, until they have the warp drive, you know. Like,
yeah.
They're basically like, can we interfere here or not? Later, it's called the Prime Directive. It's easier to remember, I believe, for me. Yeah. It's called the Prime Directive, which says, do not interfere. So, like, in the old TNG episodes, so many of the episodes are them trying to help people without changing their future by letting them know that there are other, you know, other things out in the universe.
Yeah. You're not supposed to interfere with the natural development of a planet, basically.
I really like the scene, though, where they're talking about it. I was like, okay, this is good. This is what I like. A bunch of people sitting around talking about stuff, brainstorming. I was like, this is old TNG. This is Star Trek.
It's trying to figure that shit out.
People thinking and talking and not just blowing shit up constantly.
Coming up with a plan on how to help them out. Yeah.
Because as a viewer, you're sitting there and you're thinking your plan out, like, oh, well, this is what I do. Or if they come up with the plan and it's stupid, you're like, oh, that's a stupid plan. But generally, Star Trek comes up with a plan that makes sense. And it's like, okay, that's good. That makes sense that they would want to do that. I wrote down that when they were about to go onto the planet, I was actually super hyped at that point. I was like, all right, this is perfect. This is a formula. Like, you guys going and solving the thing, doing the thing. Great. I like that they got injected to look like the people on the planet.
That was cool, yeah. And that was apparently experimental, too. So it was just like first time they're really using that shit to change their way that they look. I like that they told Spock, like, yours is going to wear off faster. I was like, so you know that's going to be a fucking problem? Yeah, that was cool. Some covert ops on the planet.
Very just like hijinks, shenanigans, like old TNG just like running around. And then the Scorpio 7 thing happens, which is a guy. They like neutralize a bunch of guys when they get to the planet to steal their clothes and beam them up to the ship. And then one of the guys wakes up and is just running around the ship.
Yeah.
I was like, this is really awesome. I was like, this is so stupid that they wouldn't have like security deal with this. But also, I am really loving it. Like,
yeah.
I thought there is.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny when he was on the elevator.
Yeah.
With Uhura, and then she's like just trying to be calm and like talk to him about like, "Oh, I heard about," and then it was like sports ball or whatever on your planet. And he was like, "Oh, you know sports ball?" And
they're just like, much, yeah.
Yeah, in the elevator talking about sports. And then like they get to the top and he's like, she's like, "Yeah, I heard that you had like, you know, whatever the equivalent is of the Super Bowl." And he's like, yeah, I was there. And then the fucking girl just comes out and just like gets him in the back of his ass. Yeah, zaps his ass. That was awesome.
That was great. There's another scene I really liked when they're walking around and Spock's costume is starting to wear off. And what's his name? The main guy, Pike. Mike is like, he's like, what's going on? How do you feel? And he goes, the pain is quite remarkable. And then he goes, rah! And then he changes.
He just screams like fucking super loud. Yeah. And then he goes, that was better. That's better.
And then he's completely changed.
Yeah.
That was really funny and good. The comedy stuff works. I remember Star Trek being kind of goofy like this too, you know, like. Mm-hmm. Not taking itself too awful serious, but not being stupid either.
It's more subtle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what made me think it was Kirk, because at one point they have to make a decision on if they want to let the planet know about other species or not. And he says, screw General Order 1. And I was like, that seemed like a very like Kirk move where he's just like, doesn't care, you know, like I'm just gonna do what I want at that point.
That's a common theme in Star Trek though too, where just like they're trying to stick to the rules, but then they find a reason that they need to not stick to the rules, and then they make that decision. The captain makes that decision.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of dumb that he did that, and he said, take me to your leader. And I thought that was dumb because they already had captured people that were humans prior to him being there, and they put him in the prison. So why would they take him to the leader? You know, why wouldn't they just put him in prison like the other humans? But I'll suspend my disbelief. Whatever, it's fine. He came off as a captain. You know, maybe that's why. But
yeah,
you know, normally that wouldn't happen, you would think. So he goes to their leader and basically just shows him how the future is going to play out based on what happened on Earth. Because Earth basically destroyed most of itself, about 30% of the population, I think they said. And they were like, basically, you guys can keep fighting and blow each other up, or you can join the Federation. And they do.
It was a little bit silly the way that, I actually thought it was really funny how they were just like, oh yeah, they're talking things out, and it was just two people standing like directly in front of each other behind podiums, just like yelling at each other.
That just feels real. I mean, that's that's realistic.
It was just like, it was just a very silly depiction of just like how, you know, how two giant factions on one planet are just like trying to resolve their differences and just broadcasting it on live TV. Mm-hmm. It was just very funny to me. And then he just, of course, he like teleports down and interrupts it. And like, I thought gives a pretty good speech, like you were saying, where he like goes over like the history of Earth and like, here's where you guys are headed. Mm-hmm. Here's actual images of like our planet, like what it looked like after, you know, we nuked each other, essentially. Also some pretty interesting how it kind of basically was just like, it basically said, yeah, this happened in the 21st century. First, we called it the Civil War, or like the Second Civil War. Then we called it something else. Then we called it World War III.
Felt and too kind of, relevant.
Yeah, they definitely tried to play the relevance there in terms of like, you know, what's going on today. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was pretty good.
I liked it because in Picard, they do the same thing where they take like current events and then they beat, but they like beat him to death, and they make it very like 1-to-1 ratio of what's happening here. Like they'll like talk about immigration. They'll like, it's just like, and which is fine, but it's just like, not really Star. They don't do it in a way that Star Trek would handle things typically. I like this because it was like they said, here's the reason, and then that's enough. We don't need to go into like, this doesn't have to be a 4-episode arc about how the Earth destroyed itself because of bad people. Like, yeah, it happened. Right. Accept it. Okay, move on. Like, I didn't like that it was so easy, but I do like it was easy, I guess. Like, you know what I mean?
I know, yeah. I think they did it well. Like, you're right. They shouldn't have stayed on it for too long, I guess.
It was
drawn it out.
It was a bit like too fantasy that the entire planet would be like, "Oh yeah, that sounds great." When you think about how our planet works and people just continue to argue and fight.
Exactly, yeah.
But
in the face of direct evidence of a lot of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if aliens showed up, it wouldn't be like, oh, now we're all together to, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. There would be groups completely against it. But I don't need to see all that. That's fine. Yep. So I like that it was just put a little ribbon on it. And like, we saved this planet. They're joining the Federation. Great.
Right.
I'm happy with that. So there was they had like a speech where they were talking about growth in space. Like they had the forest growing. This was like the number one kind of like into the arc for her on this first episode where, cause she has these anger issues. Like she didn't want to take the medication. And he's talking to her about growing as a person and like referencing the forest. And, he decides to bring her because she's like saying she's going to leave or something. And I also like I like that whole metaphor that they did. I thought that was nice and good.
Yeah.
And then he also said, she's talking about all her past issues. And he said, the shadows we bring make the light brighter. And I was like, that's good too. I like this. Good writing. Good.
It is good.
Yeah, like poetic language that we've been missing from Star Trek. Yes.
Like the original series. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
And then The other thing we missed, though, we forgot to mention, which was a pretty big part of Pike's character, is that he has seen his death.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yep.
Yeah.
And the whole episode's him grasping what to do about that.
Right. Yeah. Which I thought was also really good, because there's like a pretty good arc in this where basically, you know, he's seen his death in the future. And because of that, that kind of gave him the idea, basically, to show that planet their death, right? Their future. And so, like, and then that kind of helped the planet turn around, which I think kind of taught the Captain Pike a lesson of, like, you know, how to, you know, treat his future, basically.
Yeah.
Based on that. So I thought that's a pretty cool wrinkle, too, for his character, that he knows what's going to happen to his character. Because, like, I don't know, you guys might not know, but, like, Captain Pike has a pretty fucked up future, because basically there's a warp core, I guess, gets destroyed while he's near it, and it just like almost completely kills him, but it doesn't kill him. And he basically becomes like a mute, like person who can't speak and he can't move. He just basically is a head. And he like has this motorized thing that he rides around on. And like, you kind of saw a brief glimpse of it in this episode, but that's like, I think that's in the original series. Like Captain Pike shows up like that, but his face is all deformed and he can't talk. And like, he just has a super fucked up future. And so that was part of Discovery, is he ends up seeing his own future based like when he's like interacting with these like crystals on a planet or something. But yeah, I just think that's a really cool wrinkle for his character, that he's still going along his path, knowing that that's what lies in store for him in the future.
Right. Yeah, I liked it a lot. And there were a couple lines where he addressed it. I didn't write those down, but they were, I remember thinking, yeah, this is good. Like, this is, we're seeing him grow as a character. Like, you saw these characters grow so much in one episode. It was crazy. Like,
yeah.
It's very well written. And it's a cool
way to, like, because the way this series appears to be setting itself up is it's going to be very episodic in the way that TNG was, where it's kind of a new thing every week or every episode. But it looks like they are also having an overarching story that's going to develop as well. And I think that's a cool – I hope that they blend that well, because that's something that they've often not blended well. That's something that they screwed up a lot with Discovery. Something that I don't even think is existent in Picard. I think Picard is just a straight serial,
like,
modern day show. So I think that's cool, because people really miss that with TNG.
Yep. I didn't think we would see it again, to be honest, but I think at this point, Star Trek has kind of turned into a thing where whatever kind of Star Trek you like, it's out there now for you. If you like the, you know, adventure Star Wars version of Star Trek, you got that out there. You can watch that. If you like the old TNG, this show seems like it's going to be like TNG. If you like complete dog shit, Picard. It's all out there.
All of it's out there.
Yeah. So pick your poison. For me, we'll go around and say if it's a binge or cringe. I'm absolutely going to be binging this show. I'm very excited for it.
Nice. Have you watched episode 2?
No, I have not. I did not know it was out yet.
Yep, it's out.
Are we gonna? Are you gonna watch them all?
Oh yeah, I'm giving it a binge.
This could be our spinoff. This could be our spinoff.
Oh, okay. We gotta hear what Josh.
Let's see if Josh. Josh, what do you think?
Josh, are you gonna?
What do you think I'm gonna say? I assume we talked
about
this.
We talked about this.
You did.
I thought that you were gonna give it a cringe, and then Cassie, I think you thought he was gonna give it a binge.
I did. Don't disappoint me, Josh.
I am gonna give it a binge.
Yeah.
I really liked it. The production quality was also just really good. Everything just looked really good.
Yeah, it looked legit.
Like, you could watch that in a movie theater and look really nice. And then a lot of the lines, I didn't know if you guys, I mean, I couldn't tell. The lines were always on the verge of corny to me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I thought they were doing callbacks from the other shows is what I thought. But it was, like, just enough. I was, like, also genuine, like, maybe that guy's also just talks like that. And he's just that nice, like, Pike. Just the way he thinks about things. Yeah. Very caring and shit like that. I thought it was really good. I was going to... I would watch more. I will watch more. So
there we go. All
right.
There we go.
I was happy. I didn't really have to know much about the other Star Treks, I guess. Hearing what you guys say now it sounds like Star Treks, there's a lot of different types produced. Mm-hmm. And if this is how they were the whole time, I was like, oh man, maybe I should go watch all the other ones, but it sounds like they're not.
Yeah.
I think TNG is worth checking out. But the thing is with TNG, you have to tell people to skip season one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because season one is, they don't know what the fuck they're doing in season one. It's not till season two that they really get going. But TNG is going to be most like this show. And then there just hasn't been anything since TNG until this show that's been probably this good. So,
did you watch episode two yet,
Jake? I did. Yeah.
Is it still good?
I like it better than the first episode.
Oh yeah. Shit!
Really? Yeah, I really liked the second episode, and I think the third episode might be out either today or yesterday. I don't know. I still got to check, but it should be out soon. So I'm excited to watch it.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Something to look forward to. Second
episode. I'm curious what you think about that once you watch it.
Yep. We got a spinoff. We got bonus episodes coming up.
All right.
Might do it.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Josh, you going to watch this?
Yeah. No, I really am. I really like it.
All right. Yeah, we'll watch it.
Did a good job.
Yeah.
I have them all. They'll be going up on Plex if you guys want to watch it on there. So. All
right.
Oh, good. I wasn't going to pay for Paramount.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I mean, yes, I am.
Yeah,
we're all going to be paying.
We're going to pay for this.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a little break, and when we come back, we'll play a little game I've devised. Is it Trek or is it Star Wars? That's what it's called.
Oh my God.
Okay. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Binge or Cringe. We are going to play a game I called, is it Star Trek or Star Wars? Original name, do not steal. That is definitely not a BuzzFeed name. So I'm going to read you two names and you tell me what it's from. I feel like Jake has the advantage because you've seen both.
So maybe Josh gets to answer first?
Yeah, Josh, you answer first.
Sounds good.
So Qui-Gon Jinn. Or James Kirk, James T. Kirk. So I'm gonna give you these names, okay? And then I'm gonna read a quote, and you tell me who said it, okay? So did Qui-Gon Jinn say this, or did Kirk say this? A species that enslaves other beings is hardly superior, mentally or otherwise. So this guy's against enslaving other beings.
Who's it? What's the Star Trek guy's name?
Kirk, Captain Kirk, or Qui-Gon Jinn? Who said it?
Man, I really don't know. Let's go Qui-Gon Jinn.
Jake?
I'm going to go with Kirk.
Josh taking the early lead. Ooh. It was Qui-Gon Jinn.
Damn. Kirk is pro-slavery, apparently.
The next one, General Grievous. We all know him with a bunch of arms. Or Khan. Khan from...
Khan.
Not so wounded as we were led to believe. So much the better. Who says this?
I don't know who the other guy is. I'm going to say Khan. Or okay. Khan!
Okay.
What were the two people? It says now, Khan and who?
Grievous.
And what's the quote?
Oh, God. Not so wounded as we were led to believe. So much the better.
I'm going to go Grievous on that one.
That's a Grievous! That's that Grievous. Ooh. You know how you kind of like talk like kind of like a robot human guy?
Yeah, he kind of had that weird talk to him.
That weird talk.
He kind of had that weird talk, you know?
How about this one? Is this Darth Vader or William Riker? Apology accepted, Captain Nita. Oh, that classic quote.
Riker?
I'm going to go Darth Vader.
Jake pulling ahead with 2 points.
Ooh.
Darth Vader uncharacteristically taking an apology, accepting apologies.
Is that after he killed her, though, I feel like?
Probably.
I feel like he would say that after he choked her to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Yeah.
How about this one? Lando Calrissian or Uhura? Who said this? Uhura from Star Trek.
Uhura?
Yeah, Uhura or Calrissian? But how could they be jamming us if they don't know? Or, yeah, this is, I'm reading it. Okay, I'm reading it word for word. But how could they be jamming us if they don't know that we're coming?
No.
Jake?
Yeah, I'm going to Lando.
You both get the point. It is Lando. They were being jammed. How about this one? It's either Rey or it's Catherine Janeway. One voice can be stronger than 1,000 words. Who said it?
What? Rey. That is such not, what a nonsense quote. One voice can be stronger than 1,000 words.
Or was it like, Hillary Clinton? The...
yeah, that sounds like a Clinton quote. fuck. Yeah, Rey.
Okay, Josh, did you say Rey?
Oh, yeah.
It was Janeway. She said the stupid quote.
That's a dumb quote.
All right.
Maybe the one voice said the 1,000 words. Like, what are you talking about? They're different things.
It's a very stupid quote. Everything that has been... everything. Okay. This is a good one. This is actually a good one. Think about these characters. You got Palpatine and you got Lore. You remember Lore, Jake?
Oh, yeah. I fucking remember Lore.
Everything that Data is like evil, like the second Data, like the evil Data.
An evil twin brother.
Fucking so Lore. Star Trek stuff.
We swear, TNG is good, okay?
It is good.
One of the characters has an evil twin brother.
That's an android.
Yeah, that's an android.
They're both androids, but his maker made two of them, and one of them is evil.
Man. Forgot about Lore.
So good. Okay. So, everything that has transpired has done so according to my design. Was it Palpatine or Lore?
Palpatine.
I'm going to go Lore.
Josh with the point. It was Palpatine. Ooh. It is a Lore thing to say too, though. They're both.
It is a very Lore thing to say.
Because I'm just randomly choosing.
I will not condone a course of action that will lead us to war. Is that Jean-Luc Picard or is that Padme?
Padme.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. Padme is kind of like Picard.
Yeah. They're both shit. I think I'm going to go with Padme.
Jake, with the point, it is Padme. That is Padme.
Josh said that too.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, then yeah. You guys are tied.
It's whatever.
You guys are tied.
As long as Dobby doesn't die.
Dobby's safe sitting this one out. All right.
Hopefully the board is not listening.
Oh, God. We'll... Okay. I got two good ones. We'll end on these two. They're both Yoda. So is this Yoda or Picard? Live now. Make now always the most precious time. Now will never come again. Is that Yoda or Picard? Live now. Make now always the most precious time. Now will never come again. Or
okay, I'll live now. Say Yoda.
Okay.
Engage.
Engage.
You made me believe you with your Yoda voice.
I'm going to go Picard on that one.
Jake, with the point, it is Picard. Yeah. It is Picard.
I think I know what episode he said that in, too.
Wow. Measure of a Man?
Yeah, is that the one where he is like, he lives out an entire life inside of like a probe or whatever?
That sounds right.
Yeah, he gets his consciousness gets like teleported into like, this alternate world where he lives an entire life, like dies of old age and then comes back and it was all within like 5 minutes or some shit. That was a good episode.
Good shit. Good shit. Maybe we watch TNG. Maybe we watch all of this and then we watch all of TNG.
Ooh.
All right.
If Josh really likes.
Oh man. I want to hear Josh's take on Q. That would be really funny.
Shit.
Is that a series?
Damn.
He's just a character.
Okay.
The character.
There's some really crazy or like Josh, can you imagine being Josh right now, not having seen any TNG and just watching it and like the meeting, like the Ferengi, like,
oh man, so much good shit.
So much good shit.
It's so good. It's like a strange new world for me.
We make it through this strange new worlds. We're going into TNG season 2.
We have to.
We have to.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Luminous beings, are we? Not this crude matter. Is that Yoda or is that Q?
Can you do that in Yoda's voice so I can tell?
Luminous beings, are we? Not this crude matter.
Okay, Yoda.
Okay. I'm going to go Q.
It's a tie! It is Yoda! Oh. It is Yoda.
Oh, man.
Damn. That was a good one.
That's it. That's how you play Star Trek or Star Wars, the BuzzFeed query, what is it called? Quiz? Oh, man, I didn't play my music. Damn it. Hold on. I had music. No, not my music. Yeah. Not my music. Can you hear that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm very good at singing songs.
Did you ever hear this song?
Here's a try.
Hold on.
Is this really it?
This is Cassidy.
You ever see this?
I'm not very good at singing songs.
Oh, no.
Here's a try.
2009. I was going to start it with this. It's good shit.
What the fuck?
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, must first invent the universe.
That's how I was gonna start it. So
okay, this seems pretty good.
Yeah, I'll link this to you guys. It's a good listen if you're a fan of Carl Sagan. It's good shit. Anyways, that does it for this week's episode. What are we watching next week? We don't know yet. We'll find out, but we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.